You guys, I have 9 days till my cast comes off. If you stand outside our little East Village Radio studio, you can see my cast, but more interestingly, you could see Nina Parison, who is here in the studio. And in fact, so you know that I'm not lying, I'm going to actually give her a microphone, and then I'm going to turn on her microphone and say something.
Hi.
Oh, there we are. See, she's here. I told you.
As well as the cast.
Yes, my cast is here, and I've got some famous people who have signed it.
It's getting really... scribbled on. So.
Yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, I have flowers, I have heart stars.
Delphine rocks hard, it says, too.
Yeah, this is from Jim Thirlwell.
Oh, yeah, great.
And this is from Lenny Kaye.
Uh-huh.
And this is Hamish Bowles.
Oh, wow.
Very exciting,
good.
Right?
You're going to keep it, right, once it comes off?
I'm going to sell it on eBay.
Yeah, you should. I'll keep it.
I'll varnish it.
It's like wine. It's going to get more precious and expensive the more you keep it. You can sell it for more money.
Oh.
These guys will die and stuff in 15 years, and you'll get more, I promise.
Wow, not only do you have an amazing singing voice, but you're a business maestro.
See? Yeah. When it comes to other people, I am.
Well, anyway, Nina, it's really, really great to have you here.
Yeah.
It's very, very nice to have you here. And, of course, you had a band that was hugely popular in the 90s and into the first half of the aughts, as mm-hmm. they call them.
Yeah.
The Cardigans. Actually, the Cardigans are still a very, very well-loved band, but you sort of haven't been doing anything with the Cardigans since about 2005?
We haven't made records, but we're actually, the last 3 years, we've been touring again.
Right.
We just confirmed a show in the coming summer again. So we do little bits here and there. And
right.
we're still hanging out. We haven't disbanded. We're just so... Everybody's got jobs and different things going on.
And
tons of kids, yeah. But we're starting to touch on the subject of making something again, because we're just having fun still. In our minds,
right.
we're certainly still a band. We're just incredibly inactive when it comes to new music.
Is the rest of the band in Sweden?
Yeah, except for one guy who is sort of commuting between LA and Stockholm.
Right.
Yeah.
And you all have kids now, and that changes the whole thing
yeah,
in terms of
hugely.
Touring. Because, you know, the Cardigans did tour like extensively
yeah.
for a while, and then you had to take a break. And
I really have to. That's something incredibly new to me, to have to put out a record and do that job and then have a kid. My brain is like boiling constantly to try to make it work. Yes, I say yes to things, and I'm like, wait, that means I'm away for a month. This is work, you know. I constantly have to figure it out. And
sometimes, does your baby go with you on the road?
Yeah, when it works. When I'm in one place for a week or so, he
right,
comes.
Right, right, right. And is he musical? Has he exhibited any musical ability yet?
Yeah, not. I think all kids do. That's why I don't want to say that he's a musical genius yet. But he really likes dancing. He's crazy. You know, we live in Harlem, and he loves to go out on our stoop and show off his street moves. When he dances outside, his street moves.
Right.
So I think that's the most prominent the dancing is.
Right. And you spend part of the year here in New York,
mm-hmm.
where you've lived for many years now,
yeah.
right? How long has it been?
Well, it's been on and off since actually 99, but more permanent, like now I'm quite permanent, since the 2005, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we stopped going back and forth.
And then
the
you go to Sweden mm-hmm. part of the year, back to Malmö, where
yeah.
the Cardigans first recorded together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you just for the Cardigans fans who are listening, this is Nina Parison here on East Village Radio on The Rest Is Noise with myself, Delphine Blue. Very happy to have you here on the 7th of May in 2014. Now I forgot my question. You see, look what happened. Oh, so you all met when you were teenagers.
Yeah,
so that's going back a ways.
Mm-hmm.
And before you were with the Cardigans, I mean, you have an amazing voice.
Oh, thank you.
You have an amazing voice. So what sort of musical things were you doing before that band came together?
Well, I had just started to actually do music myself, just like a year or two before I joined the Cardigans. And that was I just joined the first person who wanted to do something with me, sort of a classmate. Who did sort of crazy, sort of folky songs in Swedish. And I was the backup singer. So before I joined the Cardigans, when I joined the Cardigans, I should say, I still didn't consider myself somebody who would really sing. I was recruited because they liked my taste in music. And we come from a really small town, not Malmö, that is very religious. And so the people who liked, you know, rock music or music from England and the US, and profane music weren't that many. So I was just one. They wanted a girl.
You were an outcast.
There weren't that many of us. I was a girl, and they liked my music taste. And I was bored out of my mind, so I happily joined them because I wanted to find my peers too. So that's sort of, and then I learned to sing, I guess, because I always liked it, but I was never drawn to being, you know, a front figure or a singer or famous or anything like that. Like they had maybe grown up with Kiss,
right,
and been psyched about guitars and stuff.
And right, and now you're a cult heroine.
Yeah, now I'm just pulled into it too deep. I can't leave now.
It's too late to turn back.
Yep.
All right, so well, the thing is about Nina, what she does is that she makes music. So we should listen to some of her music and her exceptional singing. And we're going to start off with a track from the new album. We're going to also hear some Cardigans rarities, mm-hmm, as selected by the lovely Nina Parison, who is live in the studio. So we're queuing up the song. And this one, I was fortunately invited to one of the first... Was that one of the first shows you did at up in Harlem,
yeah,
at the Red Rooster?
Yeah, it was the first I did. The first.
With that was the first one.
With these songs, yeah. It was. It was sort of like a little, you know, just try to enthuse people about it.
Right. And it was such a great setting.
Thank you. Yeah, I was excited to play there, too, because it's my neighborhood joint.
Right.
And I go there all the time. It was fun to get to play there.
And who's playing with you, can we ask?
Well, then it was a bunch of members from the band called Yellowbirds from Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
They've slightly changed since. Now, the drummer is still from Yellowbirds. Then there's a woman named Johanna Kranich. She has a band called White Prism, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy named Grant Zubritsky, who's like a wizard when it comes to... He plays bass and tons of keyboards, so he has like four hands,
right,
I feel like. And it's a guy named David Dauda, who plays guitar. He's also, you know, they're all Brooklyn musicians that I sort of met throughout the years.
Does this guy, what's his name, Nathan Larson, play with you?
He doesn't play with me. He takes care of my kid when I work.
Oh, he's your babysitter.
He's my husband.
Wasn't he playing at that gig I saw?
Was
though?
He now? Yes, he was. Then he was.
Oh, okay.
Because he was local. Now when
I play
and I leave town, he gets to be home with the kid. He worked with me on the record, though. He and I and... this other guy, Eric Johnson from Portland, produced it together. So
right,
he was very involved
right.
then.
Okay, well, we're going to hear a song that is... I know you're making a video for this, and the lyrics are very cinematic in themselves. So, you know, and I remember it all the way back from that show, which was in the... before the winter time, I think. It was...
I think so, yeah. I think it was, like, early fall.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it's stayed with me since then.
I'm glad.
Yeah,
good.
So this is called... Food for the Beast, here on East Village Radio.
Flashing light. Then came a voice on the radio. Send me into the night.
And now, we have one for you from the Cardigans. And hold on one second. I know what the problem is.
It's only 119.
Oh, maybe we have a slight problem here.
This one is dead. If there's another rarity.
The one right under it?
If there's a chance, yeah.
Okay. Is it
kicked?
Yeah. So now Nina is assisting me because I have a broken arm. So when you have a broken arm, you get famous people to be your assistants. It's amazing. What's the name of this song?
It's called If There's a Chance. It's super slow. It's gonna, I hope people are gonna stay listening. I like this one a lot.
But something's wrong, something's gone. The major's turning blue, and so did you. I'm noticing the dirt, and it hurts that you left. You really had to go, so you say, so
I'll follow the line of
your tracks in the snow. If you ever get blue, baby, I'll paint you yellow and rose, silver and cream. Silver like the moon through the haze and dim. Silver like the moon. If you're on your way home, baby, I will be standing at the end.
That's what you call an ending. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, I love that ending. That was fabulous.
I'd forgotten about that. I just play these things live lately. I haven't listened to the record in a while. So,
well, when people like start listening to the record a lot and then they go hear the live one, they're going to want you. They're going to wait for the ending.
I know, have to that's do it. That. We have to bring it back in. That's a dramatic swell.
Yeah, a dramatic swell. Yeah. Wow, that's pretty good. Nina Parison of, of herself, of the Cardigans, of a camp?
We called it a camp ourselves, but then we're Swedes, and it's now I know that it's more, a camp is a more actual proper way to pronounce it.
So yeah.
It's all fine.
Right. Yeah. Talk about that band a little bit. What was that project like?
It's really important to me. It was a great thing, because it was actually, we started in 97, right? It was after the Cardigans had put out a record called Gran Turismo, which was
enormously popular.
Yeah, and a huge amount of work. So I was sort of really questioning my being in the Cardigans. I also started to feel like I wanted to do more myself. I just felt like I wanted to fill out my shoes a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I met this guy, Niklas, a Swedish guy, and we started to write some songs, and we recorded it once in 98. Then I had a conflict with the record company. They refused to put it out because all they wanted was more Cardigans material. So then we... Oh, no, listen. Then we did Gran Turismo, and I got totally exhausted after that. And then time just dragged on, and I felt like I liked those songs. So then I took it over here and recorded it in Woodstock with Mark Linkus of Sparkle Horse, who produced it with me.
Oh, wow,
and that's
cool.
What became the first A Camp record. Right. So for me, A Camp is really, you know, really dear to me, because it really was the medium for me to step out and start writing on my own and
right.
not be attached to my old band.
Right.
Always.
And so what, okay, so when in the Cardigans, you are the singer and the lyricist, do you
mostly
write?
Mostly lyrics,
right.
Yeah.
Did you write music as well?
Not really. You always have a little impact on vocal melodies, of course, and mm-hmm. vocal arrangements when you're the singer. But in Cardigans, it was very strict roles, still is, and I think that's good in that context. The guy, Peter, writes all the music, and then eventually I wrote all the lyrics, and then we all play our instruments, pretty much.
Right. So then you branch off into A Camp.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And were you writing music then, or still only lyrics?
No, then I did write music, because I figured out a way to write music without playing instruments, which I thought also was impossible. I started to write songs with other people, but by pretty much just singing the melodies and dictating the harmonies, and you know,
it
was a collaboration. But right. I would have the ideas for the song and sort of the.
That's interesting, because you know, you hear people talk about, well, I wrote this for guitar, or mm-hmm. I wrote this for piano, and you're saying you wrote it, the melody, for voice.
Yeah.
So, and I've never really understood what the heck any of that means, because I don't play or sing. So why would it be different if you wrote it for guitar versus if you wrote it for voice?
I don't really know, but of course it's central what you put in the first room. I think it's clear if you write music with different people. I think it's really funny how you can tell if it's a bass player that wrote the song, or a drummer, or a guitar player. Maybe not, actually not that big a difference between a piano player and a guitar player in my mind.
Right.
But if a vocalist write it, there's a huge difference too. And it was great when I wrote this last my first solo record. I wrote it together with Eric Johnson, who plays all these instruments, but he's also very much a singer. And that was great. So he put that very, because when I write with like Peter from the Cardigans, who's an amazing, almost like an intellectual songwriter on guitar, he is sort of just assuming that a singer can do anything, and it's actually quite difficult. when I go on tour with the Cardigans now, I'm like, fuck, because it's really, my vocal cords just like, you know, pop, and it's really complicated. I realize now, when I've been writing this music based on right. my vocals, so I'm sort of resting in that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So a more technical songwriter makes it just more technical. Not knowing exactly how to deliver it finally.
Right. Ah, interesting. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when you go to your hairdresser and go, make the color like this, and you don't know what the process is. No.
I'm
just
sure.
trying to wrap my head around
any
it.
Any allegory to make it sink in.
Okay, so we move beyond A Camp, and now we have just your self-titled album. It's not self-titled. It's called Animal Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a song called Animal Heart on the album,
yeah.
and that speaks to something very specific for you, right? About your, talk about what the animal heart is, that aspect of the song, or what the album means to you with that title.
It's just Animal Heart. That's why I also thought it was a proper name for the album, because I have, as long as I've been writing lyrics, I've been writing about complications in relationships and in sexuality and attraction and all that. So it simply has to do with the stubbornness of that, and how you can't really frame it or capture it and marry it or whatever. That it's actually quite an animal instinct oftentimes, you know.
Yeah,
it
makes, that's true.
And it makes the smartest and most mature person behave like an animal when it comes around. You know, it's funny. It decapitates us quite heavily as, you know, people in the society.
I think the world is run by hormones, personally.
I think it's a big... Or we need to, like, really, you know, suppress it in order to function. I just think that's really interesting. And I think it's interesting that it just remains the same still. We can control a lot, but thankfully we can't control that quite.
No, we can't. And therefore, people keep being born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to come back to your album in a second, but right now we're going to go to a rare track, a sort of rare track that you did with Nathan, a cover of R.E.M.'s Losing My Religion. When did you do this?
I forget when it was. It was probably 10 years ago or something around there. It was a friend of ours, actually, Paprika Steen. She's a Danish actor and director. She made her first movie, and she simply asked us to cover this song for the movie. She liked it for it. And that's always fun. It's maybe not something we would have picked ourselves, but it's sometimes it's fun to just get put into that situation too.
Well, I'm just trying to let people hear some different sides of you.
Yeah.
So let's hear this. Is this one not going to play either?
Is it playing?
There we go. Hello.
Bigger than you, and you are not me. The lengths that I would go to, the distance in your eyes. Oh no, I've said too much. I set it up. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight, losing my religion, trying to keep up with you, and I don't know if I can do it. Oh no, I've said too much. I haven't said enough. I thought that I
So there you go. You thought I was going to play all of the Cardigans hits today here on East Village Radio, but I'm not. I'm playing Nina Persson and some treats and some things you may not have heard before, or the big fans probably have everything, but she is here in the studio, and if you say something, they'll know I'm not lying.
I'm really here.
Well, say your name then.
I'm Nina Persson.
See, it's her. Yeah, she's here, and we're playing a whole bunch of different things, and that, of course, was R.E.M.'s Losing My Religion. And we're going to go back now to the new album, Animal Heart, which is out, and people can get it?
Oh, yeah. It was out in February here. Mm-hmm. It's been out for a while.
So grab yourself a copy. The picture on the cover is really amazing. Who took that photo?
It's my friend Jörgen. He did the whole art thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody says I look like somebody from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, you kind of do.
Yeah, I have big ears sticking out. I
look like, what, oh, that elf? Reminds me. You were in a film and you played a tango dancer, didn't you?
Yeah, a Finnish tango singer, basically, yeah.
Oh, a singer.
Yeah, because I didn't have to dance as much that I feared. Tango's hard as hell.
I could
sing it, but dancing is...
Do you like singing tango?
Crazy.
Tango's amazing.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And the Finnish tango scene is really interesting because it's huge.
That's bizarre.
And it's a little different from Argentinian tango, and it's super dark and stark and gorgeous. And I have a Finnish aunt, and she cried when I told her I was going to do this part because she has a huge collection of cassettes of Finnish tango from her life. They dance. They go to tango dances a lot. Still in Finland, in the countryside, it's really cool.
That's really hard. Another thing that's like, what?
Yeah, and
Finland,
I didn't know.
And Argentina merged. Wow, that's so wild.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What was the name of the film?
It's called God Willing.
And is it? Can people find it? And like Netflix or something?
I know people do find it somehow. I'm not sure how, though. I think you can find physical copies of it online.
Right.
Maybe Netflix, or I know it's actually, at least it's been up on YouTube in little increments, you know.
Right.
It's a black and white story.
God bless YouTube. So we're going to listen to a song that I picked and you picked, which is Forgot to Tell You. And did we cue that up? 1, 2, 3, 4.
It was number
8.
I counted this too.
Okay.
With my extra set of eyes here.
Hang on a second. I want to get from the first. Do your songs ever relate to real life situations or just emotions or imagined things?
They're not so often from real life situations, but it's always sort of course, filtered through what I think is important, what occupies my mind. So it's really about me, but it's not so much if there's some kind of
it's not biographical.
Exactly. It's more the same way an author writes a fiction novel, because it's, you know, but of course the choices are all mine, but it's not always me.
Okay, Forgot to Tell You on East Village Radio. You're listening to The Rest Is Noise.
Forgot to
Thing that you forgot to tell somebody. Okay, so Nina, this is the question I wanted to ask you. I was thinking that when the Cardigans were, you know, just huge and, you know, doing your thing and making albums, that was before we had iPods, right? And people were still buying records and CDs. Mm-hmm. So how does it feel to you now when that whole landscape has changed and you've put out a new album? And, you know, does it feel weird to you or...
Well, luckily, I've made and put out a couple of records since that big change happened. So I'm starting to get used to it. But I'm constantly reminded how big part of my career I spent in that environment where it was physical CDs and you made money on selling records. And
right.
I mean, that of course has both to do with the different format back then and that we were big at the time. That's of course changed too because I just hide under a rock for too long between my projects. But it is very different, and I can sense it also when I hang out with people who are like 10 years younger than I and do music, do the same exact thing, but they kind of started out in this new, they're so much more savvy with everything. I still have to like sort of think an extra round to
out. It's almost like translating to a different language.
I think it's good. I like to be reminded about, you know, that things changed, and I do my best to, because I think it's all for the better, as a matter of fact. I'm fine with not having that income that I used to have because I think it's great. But it is just the, you know, when you just realize that you're a little handicapped there because you're
right. 90s production. Was this
I just said 90s product. I think about the 90s a lot because that was when I musically grew up.
Well, the 90s was a really interesting time for music. It was a really, it was a pretty fertile and great time.
Yeah,
it was a great moment. Not that, I mean, and it's just all a lot different now, but is this album out on vinyl, your new album?
It is, yes. And the good thing now is that they automatically, there was a couple of years when you had to really nag your record company to make a vinyl edition, but now they do it automatically because now people, again, get their vinyls, which is super fun because you get to, you know, just expand your artwork, and it's just a nice format. I really like it. So
right.
It's good.
Last week there was a guy taking a pic. People are always taking pictures through at us. But anyway, this there was a kid who was putting out a book on record stores and vinyl in Berlin. He was based in Berlin, and he said that in Berlin, record stores are just like flourishing and popping up everywhere, and that people are buying vinyl like crazy.
Apparently, I heard this just recently in Germany, even CDs, they dipped, of course, but not at all like the rest of Europe and the U.S.
Yeah, that's kind of what he was telling me because we were talking about that Kim's is closing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he was like, in Berlin, record stores are opening and doing really well. So... It's good. Yeah, I guess so. So people are really digging vinyl. In fact, one of the guys who was one of the founders of Record Store Day was here shortly before to talk about it. And I'm not sure which stores got it, but there was a little limited edition record store day portable record player.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't see it anywhere, though.
I came out late in the day on record store day, so I think a lot of rarities and these things probably already sold.
Yeah, all those people who were lined up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I think I was 2 in the afternoon. I was lazy.
Yeah. The one record I wanted was long gone. By 10 a.m., it was gone.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted that Donny Hathaway.
And now it's too late. Maybe you'll find it. Somebody
somebody's selling it on eBay.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Well, I know I'm monopolizing some of your time, so I want to just play a song by A Camp, because you talked about how that project was so special for you, and it was only a few years long, right?
Well, I started in 97, actually, and then we put out the last A Camp record in 2008, I think.
It was a decade.
Yeah, it was, but it was only two records, so it's...
Right. I thought it was a shorter...
It was something I brought out in between of other records with the Cardigans and all kinds of stuff, so...
Okay,
I'm sure there'll be more, though. I'm still...
Oh!
It's also just like the Cardigans, it's just... It's still existing, it's just idle.
So you guys, you heard it from the horse's mouth,
so to speak. I don't quit things. I just start things.
All right, here we go. Here's Nina with A Camp, and the name of the song is...
Such a Bad Come Down from the first record.
Oops, sorry, hold on. I am a little handicapped here, and I'm so totally embarrassed.
Yeah, you have two handicaps now, so it's totally valid.
I am, and all right, here we go.
Remains, you know, I never
Well, fans of Nina Persson, you must be very, very happy because we're covering all bases today. The old, the new, the side projects, the rarities. And, well, it's been really great to have spent some time with you and talk about this, you know, all your projects and the fact that the Cardigans are still together, folks.
Yeah, alive.
Alive and well, just resting. Mm-hmm. So what's the plan for touring?
I'm going to do, what's happening now is that I'm doing I'm doing a couple of festivals around Europe and Sweden in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm thinking of maybe doing another little tour in the U.S. in the fall. We're still working on that. And I don't know. I really just take it a couple of months at a time. It's not a huge sort of master plan these days. Just keep working on the record. Maybe thinking about something new. I don't know. Maybe I need to rest. Maybe I need to crawl back under my rock again for a while. And chill. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, when I get word that you're playing in New York, I'll be sure to let people
know.
Yeah,
sure. I hope there'll be more. New York is always great for me.
You just did a bunch. You did City Winery and then didn't you play?
Baby's All Right in Brooklyn was just a few weeks ago. I heard rumors that I'm also in the Citizens Band, which is a new
cabaret. Oh, that's what I wanted to talk to you about.
I just heard, you know, I haven't heard it directly from the source, but we might do something too because it's the midterms coming up. And that would be fun. So I'm hoping that'll happen so I can be part of it in the fall or something like
but
that.
But talk about the Citizens Band is a really totally different project. It's like a cabaret project with how many people are in it?
Well, it's like a big
group of
people. We don't really keep track, but once we all flew out to South by Southwest, and that was 35 people. So it's crazy. This because it's tons of musicians and performers and people and you know trapeze artists and so there's lots of it. There's
You have to do it here in New York.
I know. I'm always hoping that I won't be in Sweden. You know, I do the summers in Europe. I just really pray that I'm going to be back here to be part of it.
All right. When the Citizens Band project plays, then I want all 35 people in here in the booth talking.
Yeah,
to
that
me
should
about.
Work.
Yeah,
that should totally work. They're all great, so we should have them all.
I'm pushing for that.
Yeah, and you need to come. I'll let you know if it happens.
Totally.
Sure.
Yep. Okay. All right. So we're going to say goodbye to Nina and play one song, which is related to leaving because it's about crying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So everybody, dry your eyes, but she can't stay for the entire show. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
No, it was really great. Fun. And just so you know, the name of the album is Animal Heart, and you'll want to see Nina looking like she's in Game of Thrones on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to make a big wall-sized poster like that, or the record
company
needs to.
Yeah, I'll make wallpaper out of that.
Yeah. Okay, so You'll Never Catch Me Crying. No, what's the name of the song?
Catch Me Crying.
Catch Me Crying.
You'll never, but it is.
Okay. All right, Nina Persson of Nina Persson, the Cardigans, A Camp, and the Citizens Band. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And
thank
we'll
you so
see
much.
You soon.
Yeah.
Got a little bit of time behind me. I haven't even begun. If heaven falls all around me,
Wow. Nina Persson. She's great. She's, you know, the thing about her is that, oh, we're going to hear another song. Hold on a second.
I made eyes with a sailor with a burned up hand. The cross-eyed lead singer of a bad bar band. I loved an elegant gangster and a customs man. He was my gold plated scarab. He was my chosen one. He was my Sandinista star and my royal bone. He was my used car salesman and my wayward son. And then I fell for him. And that was the end. With a sailor, with a burned up hand, a cross-eyed knee.